Welcome to the Beat Red Podcast, a show where we talk about all things embarrassing. We tell our embarrassing stories. You tell your embarrassing stories. It is embarrassing all around. We're here to laugh with you, cry with you, cringe with you, and of course, bring some levity to your day. I'm Katie.
And I'm Mary Kate.
Let's turn Beat Red. How's your week?
No. I asked you first. You just didn't hear me.
Oh, right. I think you asked me first. What are we watching? I know we're both watching... What is the name of the show?
The Night of the Seven Kingdoms.
The Seven Kingdoms. It's so good. It is so good.
The last episode pissed me off so much. I might not watch it.
I might not finish it.
But it got renewed for the second season, so.
Oh, wow.
But I mean, did that last episode just not piss you off?
Wait, but it's still going. It's not over.
I know, but like the most recent one, I was like, what?
Yeah, you got to keep watching. I'm hooked. I am definitely hooked into it.
So good.
And I have been watching Search Party. Did you watch Search Party ever on Netflix?
No.
So I think it ended back in like 2022. It's been
around forever.
So did you watch? Please tell me that you watched Arrested Development, one of my favorite shows that I rewatch every single year. So the girl who played Maybe, Aaliyah Shawkat, she's in that. She's so funny.
Oh my gosh.
And it's great. Like the guy who played the cop forever, that like skinny guy with the mustache who played the cop in Stranger Things, like he's her boyfriend in it in the other lead.
And what's it about?
It's really funny. So it's really just about like these four Brooklyn socialite, like, you know, ne'er-do-well types. Like it's kind of like they're kind of like a Always Sunny type cast, you know, where they're kind of shitty people, but they're also like endearing and funny. And like, you just like watching them, like it's really entertaining. So it's called Search Party because in the first episode, she like discovers that this girl's missing that they went to school with. And they're all like, who the fuck is that girl? Like, what are you talking about? And she's like, do you remember? Like, she was so nice and so great, but they like really don't know her, but they just like latch onto this case and like try to find her.
I love that.
It just sort of spirals from there. And it's a comedy. It's just ridiculous.
I need to laugh.
It had four seasons and it really like goes completely off the rails, the directions that it takes. Like the first two like make sense and go together. And then it kind of just goes off the rails in this crazy other direction. But I loved it. I wanted more. Like I thought it was really entertaining and I love the cast. That. So yeah, I recommend that one.
Okay. I need to see that.
What are you watching?
So I saw one of the best live performances of an actor I've seen in a very long time. I saw Amadeus at the Pasadena Playhouse, and it's playing through March 8th. If you're in LA, you've got to see it. Jefferson Mays is the man. The playwright is Peter Schaefer, and he created this. It's a very indulged and not 100% accurate depiction of this relationship between Amadeus Mozart and this other composer, Antonio Salieri. And basically, this actor's on stage the entire play. And it's a three-hour play. And he's playing Salieri. And he goes from 80 years old to 40 years old to 80 years old to 40 years old. His voice is changing. It's basically just this idea of jealousy, like, because it's Mozart. So Mozart's one of the best composers ever. And yet... Salieri is trying to be the best composer ever, but he never will be. And so it's just this thing, like he feels physical pain that he cannot be as good as Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart. And it's just this, I don't know, it was so bone chilling. I loved it because it reminded me, like, I mean, actors get a lot of shit and they get like, you know, he's like, oh, it's self-indulgent or it's, you know, and the rejection of it, it's like, can be so blinding. But if you see a performance like this, you realize that's it. That's what you do with it. Like you're given something to do that. But you have to, in order to do that, you have to have had years of performing, you know, behind you. So I just felt like I saw a master performer. Yeah, I was just blown away. It was one of those things where I just walked the other way when I went out of the theater. John was like, we're parked this way. And I was like, oh, yeah.
I got to go to some Broadway shows, but I have to just wait for this like insane weather to stop. When
you go in the summer.
All the snow finally melts in New York. I'm going to go over there.
Go
and
to New York in the springtime. It's so magic.
I know. It'll be so nice. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I love that.
Do it.
Yeah.
I'm going
to
do it.
I have to watch more TV. I don't know. I just have been off TV. I haven't been watching it.
That's good. I've been way too on TV.
Girl,
I mean, it's just like kind of my checkout.
Yeah, but you get these stories. I mean, we're in the prime time. This is the best time for TV, I think, ever. So, like, what you watch is going to be really, I don't know, engaging and beautifully crafted, usually.
Love is Blind.
You're like Real Housewives of Mormon Housewives.
I know. I didn't watch that, but I did watch. I have started watching Love is Blind too, the new season. Aww. It's so bad. I mean, usually though, but I've told you before, like I just fast forward through. Like,
yeah.
I get so bored. I'm like, nah, fast forward, fast forward, fast forward. Don't care about this. Don't care about that. But it is entertaining. But well, I mean, it's so hard to believe any of these people anymore. I'm like, you do not like her. She doesn't like you. Right. Like, you guys are both just trying to get famous. Like, let's get real.
Well, like, are you going to watch Wuthering Heights?
I will. I will watch Wuthering Heights. I did love that book when I was younger. And but so I will watch it.
I can't watch. I can't tell my husband I'm going to watch it. Isn't that weird? Like, I feel bad about it. Like, if I'm like, okay, so I'm going to go pick up the dry cleaning, whatever. I'm going to go take a walk and then I'm going to go see Wuthering Heights. So I think he will, like, it will be a slow pause and like a slow turn. Like, and he's going to make fun of you. He'll just be like, why do you need to see that?
Because Jacob Elordi's in it, okay? That's all you need to know.
He's like, I can't see. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm trying to avoid.
He's not going to go watch it with you.
Everyone knows his name.
Well, I mean, he's been around forever. He was in Euphoria, remember? Did you watch Euphoria?
Yeah, he was in the kissing booth. I did not watch Euphoria.
And he was in Saltburn. Remember Saltburn, that crazy movie?
I didn't see that movie. Oh, yeah, I haven't seen any of it.
Yeah, I mean, he's been in a lot of stuff, but yeah, he is talented. And it has somebody for both sides and all sides.
Exactly.
It has Margot Robbie, too. She's super hot. So maybe he'll be in on it. Maybe he'll agree to go with you for Margot
Robbie. But then I'll be like, oh, screw you. You like Margot Robbie? Oh, go on. Why don't you just make your own? Why do you make your own life? And I just kick him out, change the locks. Should we get into it?
Let's get into it. Do you want me to kick off? Do you want to kick
off?
Yes,
you kick it off.
I'll kick us off. Okay. My first episode comes from Rachel. So she submitted this to me on IG when I reached out. And I'm like, hey, who has embarrassing stories? Her handle is rchavez182. So R-C-H-A-V-E-Z 182. She loves Blink 182. I was like, I love it. That's awesome. That's where her handle came from. But yeah, she shared this story and I was like, it starts off and I'm like, okay, we've had a lot like that, similar, but then the ending just throws it and you're like, nope, none exactly like that. And that is funny.
I love the curveball. Okay, great.
Okay, let's get into it.
Let's do it.
I was at my job and had about an hour until I was done for the day and I started my period. I didn't have any feminine products with me and neither did any of my coworkers. And I lived about 45 minutes away. Being a girl that's had her period since grade school, I got creative, as you do, and made a classic makeshift pad out of toilet paper.
Yep.
We've all been there.
We've all had to do it. For sure.
I wadded up a huge pile and made a pad and carried about my day. I needed to go to the mall that day to pick up prescription glasses. The mall was only 5 minutes from my work, and I knew it would be a quick trip, so I headed over after work. When I walked into the mall, there was a guy standing outside of a barber shop who stopped me. He was handsome, although not my typical type, and very friendly. He chatted me up and kept asking me if I knew anyone who wanted a haircut, if I could be so kind to take some business cards and pass them out to anyone who might be interested. I said, sure, and thank you, and I took the cards. As I was walking away, he said, wait, excuse me, and came running after me.
Oh, no.
He then said, oh, you've got toilet paper hanging out of the back of your pants. Let me help you.
I hate this so much.
Before I could even react or say anything, he started pulling on the toilet paper. And it was like he was one of those magicians, just endless handkerchiefs up his sleeve, just pulling the toilet paper. Finally, I snapped out of it and yelled, wait, please stop. It's not what you think. I actually got my period and I had to make a pad out of toilet paper. I guess as I was walking around the mall, it worked its way out, or I just didn't pay attention when I made it, and part of it was hanging out. But either way, this was the situation.
She, like, spilled the beans. She just said the truth.
I love that she just said it, too. I know. I don't know what I would have said. Maybe just, like, grab it and ran or something.
I would have been like, how dare you? It's my fashion choice.
He looked at me with his eyes so big and turned beet red and said, I am so, so sorry. And I said, no, it's okay. I want to thank you for noticing it. So I'm not just walking around the mall with toilet paper hanging out the back of my pants. He said, you're welcome. As I walked away from him, I was mortified. As soon as I arrived at LensCrafters to pick up my glasses, I texted my daughter and told her everything. She was laughing hysterically.
Jeez. That's some of the best parts of being embarrassed is you can call your friend and tell them.
It was her daughter. Yeah, she called her daughter.
Your friend.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Your friend daughter.
Your daughter. That's so good. That's a really good one. I love that he's just like, whoa. Just
I
like
know.
All these like scarves coming out. Oh, man. And
wait,
I think she was honest,
you got some
too.
Toilet paper.
Yeah.
It's
yeah. I probably
you don't expect anyone to be pulling it out of your pants.
Yeah, no. Especially it's such an awkward angle. You're like, no, mm-hmm. did it pull out yet? That's a really good one. Katie, your stories are killing it. Okay. This is a shorty, but a fun one. I always like the shorty fun ones, but this one's good. So this is from Try343 on Reddit. And they write, while standing above my grandmother's grave, saying my last words to her casket, I was overcome with emotion and ugly cried. At the same time, it caused a Crohn's disease flare-up in my colon.
Oh, no.
Causing so much pain, I shit myself in front of my family.
Oh, my God. In the hospital?
No, she's standing over the grave, saying
the
last
grave.
Goodbyes.
Oh, my God.
So she's like, I'm ugly crying. And then she has a Crohn's disease flare up and shits her pants in front of her whole family, which caused me to cry even uglier. I guess it got worse because I can't remember what happened next. I reckon it was so traumatic, my brain decided to forget it all. But can you imagine? You're like no. ugly crying and then you like shit your pants and then you like cry
That's
even worse.
Horrible.
It's terrible.
Horrible. That's
not good.
Okay, my next story comes from Samantha and she writes, in 2002-ish, I was in middle school. I'd had a crush on this boy for years. My middle school was having a dance with a DJ and everyone was excited. Boys and girls were going to be dancing together for the first time. Even though they did the naturally typical separation, boys on one side, girls on the other, just talking awkwardly in their own groups.
I remember those days.
I was wearing red snakeskin pants from Kohl's.
Damn.
And I had just overplucked my eyebrows to be like one hair thick because I used a magnifying mirror and I was trying to get them even. And before I knew it, they were basically gone.
It's just like one little line.
So I was looking real cute. So we're at the mixer. Everyone is separated. But I see my crush near me and I think I have got to do something really bold to get his attention.
Yes.
I can't even remember what song was playing, but I decided I was going to do the worm, basically.
No.
Naturally, because what else would you do to attract a boy?
Exactly.
Like, I feel like you would do the worm. Have you ever done the worm at a dance?
No.
I feel like you would do it.
I would never do that.
It's so hard. The only person I know who does it is my friend Curtis that I've known since middle school, who has literally done it since middle school, and he still does it. And
he does
a really good job.
I love that.
Shout out to Curtis.
Yeah, shout out to Curtis.
He still does the worm. But yeah, brave. I would not attempt the worm because it's real hard.
It's hard. No, you have to like dislocate your back. To make it look
every
squirmy.
Single part of you is moving and it's
got
to be just right and coordinated. And you have to propel yourself up to go into, like you're going in a circle essentially.
Yes.
You have to like propel yourself up. It's real hard, okay?
It's not easy.
Now, I don't know if you've ever done the worm, but it is not the easiest. And you have to really clench your muscles to do it properly. As I dropped down and did that, I farted super loud.
Oh, no.
Everyone was surrounding me and laughing hysterically. And there was no way to play it off. Like, you can't be like, that wasn't me. Because you literally dropped down and did, like, this massive fart, like, with the worm. Like, as you clench your muscles up, it just happened. Everyone's, like, circled around. They're like, oh, she's about to do the worm. And then you just fart. This is middle school. It's, like, worst case scenario.
You have your red snakeskin pants on.
Yes.
It's so brave.
I just decided I was going to own it and laugh too. They all laughed for a few minutes, but shortly after, everyone got over it because I tried not to make a big deal out of it. I guess that's a millennial middle schooler mating ritual. My crush and I never dated, although we still know each other. I never did the worm again, and I pray that he and no one else remembers that happened.
I mean,
I'm sorry to say though, they do. They definitely do. Like, so I would remember that.
Do you think she kept doing the worm after she farted? Or do you think she stopped
and
just laid on the ground?
I think she probably was like, ah ha 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 ha, and like jumped up really fast. I'm guessing. I don't know. I should have asked her. I didn't ask her.
Oh, that's right. She said submitted this. Okay. That is, well, you know what? It is a good story. It's a great story. I think also doing the worm cancels out the fart because it's really brave and really cool.
If she did the rest of it and didn't just stop, if she didn't just do one flop and big fart and then just jump back up, because that's
one flop and a big fart, please.
Yeah, maybe she just kept it going. Like, you have to keep it going at that point, right? You've got to impress them with your worm skills. But then if you continue to fart as you do the worm, then you're in big trouble.
Then you are definitely a legend. Yeah. A legend. Yeah. So would you, this is unrelated, but Katie, would you ever be in a band with me called Flop and a Big Fart?
Flop and a Big Fart. Absolutely. Absolutely. We are in that band. We already are.
That's our band.
This is that band.
Flop and a Big Fart. It's so good.
Flop and a Big Fart.
Never gets old. Okay, that's a really good one. I'm glad she shared that with us. So this is from Reddit, and Zealous Ideal put 2009. Sorry. Why do you just keep going? Like, with your Reddit name, why don't you just like say like Charlie XCX? I mean, or XCX or something. Like, this one's like Zealous Ideal put 2009. Sorry.
I don't know. Okay. People put the weird shit, the weirdest shit. They write.
So this actually happened to me like 3 months ago. I was on a first date with someone I matched with on Hinge. We'll call her Lisa. She's 29. I'm 33 and also a guy. The date actually went really well. She even bought me a small gift. First time anyone's done that. A crochet flower. It was super cute.
Aww.
We went, isn't that sweet? We went and got
she was a gift giver.
Yeah. It's sweet. It's like, you know, the thought, if you put the thought into it, you already look, make yourself look good. We went and got some matcha because I said I'd never had it before. We got a slice of chocolate cake, and then I got her some ice cream. We went for a walk, held hands, and had some nice chats. Easy conversation, small flirting. So the date is winding down, and I walk her to the train station. We're waiting at the platform, and she tells me she really had a lovely time. And of course, I did too. Thinking I'm in the clear, I lean down to kiss her. She pulls away, a little startled, and immediately I think, oh, shit, you idiot, you misread this. This woman looked me square in the eye and said, oh, I'm sorry, it's just that I've never kissed anyone before.
How old are they?
Huh? So she's 29, he's 33. But he wrote, huh? Like, what? I said, that's okay.
Oh my God, she's like Drew Barrymore, never been kissed. She's Josie Brosie.
But they held hands. Like, they
Brosie
were
Josie.
Aw. I got to watch that movie again. I'm happy at whatever pace you're comfortable with anything. I'm very confused because this girl is pretty darn cute and she seemed really sincere. Anyway, she said, I'd love to see you again, and gave me a nice hug. She goes to walk away with like a decent step to her because her train had arrived and her hair got caught in my jacket, and she screams, ah, nearly falls over, tries to go back towards me, and headbutt rams me in the chest. We just ended up laughing it off. And a couple dates later, we even had our first kiss on the Sydney Harbor Bridge. It was really lovely. And then he writes in parentheses, I could tell she wasn't lying too.
Oh no, sweet baby.
So I love so reading mean. These because it's such a roller coaster.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was that the last one, I wonder? Was that their last date? He was like, yeah, I don't think I want to practice with you.
Well, I think there's a reason that she hadn't been kissed before. She was saving it. So clearly they probably had more dates. She was trusting him with her first kiss. I just threw mine away. What did you do with yours?
Oh my God, of course. It was like a game of spin the bottle, I feel like, or something.
I was like, I spit my gum out. It like dangled in my hair or something. Truth or dare, totally.
Yeah. But that's cute.
That's cute.
29. Wow. I mean, I can't imagine waiting for anything for that long.
No, me neither.
But good on you. Good on you. Okay.
Good on you.
All right. My next story comes from Lily Jefferson, and she writes, well, this was an experience. Eighth grade history class. There were about 25 people in my class, but we were a pretty small classroom with our teacher, Mr. S. He's an interesting dude and pretty chill.
Nice.
He does have this kind of know-it-all attitude towards his students. This girl in my class, Mary, she's the type to sit back and answer a few questions, then read or do her homework quietly during class. She's also super nice, and I feel so bad that something so embarrassing happened to her. Anyway, at my school, we were not allowed to have phones whatsoever, not even in our bags. We had to turn in our phones at the beginning of school every day. Many people keep theirs anyway, and they get into huge trouble. So anyway, during history, Mary asks to use the restroom. Mr. S says, yeah, and she gets gets up and discreetly takes her small period bag with pads and tampons and starts to leave. Yeah. Mr. S shouts, "Whoa!" And everyone is startled and
Mr.
looks at him.
S.
Mary freezes and turns around. Mr. S is so surprised and goes, "Are you bringing your phone to the bathroom with you?" Looking super angry.
Mr. S.
She turns bright red and shakily says, "No, I'm not." He says, "Oh, yeah? Then what else would be in that bag that you're taking with you to the bathroom?" I know. Men are such dummies. They really are.
So stupid.
She literally looked at him with such a, "Are you serious?"
Yes,
look
good,
on her
good,
face,
good, good, good,
just
good.
At a loss for words. Mr. S firmly asks, "Mary, what's in the bag?"
I hate this guy. Are you kidding me?
I know. Can you believe it? I looked around and every single girl either had their head in their hands out of embarrassment for Mary or were just completely shocked. Every single guy in the class looked very interested. They looked the same way Mr. S did. None of them had any clue what was in Mary's
bag. Did Mr. S think it was like she was going to take a needle and some heroin out or something? Like, is this
no,
what
he
he's
thought
doing?
She had a phone. He was like, "She has a phone for sure." Like, just such a dummy. He got up and went over and grabbed it out of her hands.
Oh, he's going to get, he either gets fired or he gets, at least, at the very least, an apology.
Mary's jaw dropped to the floor as he unzipped it and pulled out a tampon. He held it up and said, "Mary, is this a vape pen?" She looked at him.
Is he serious?
He's so stupid. It's like a freaking Tampax.
Did this guy never date anyone? Does he not have a mother?
No.
Does he not have a sister or grandparents?
Nothing. He has no clue.
He came out of a time capsule.
She looked at him and shouted, "No, that's a tampon."
Yes.
The boys are still looking confused, but with a bright red face, Mr. S shoved the tampon back into the bag, gave it to her, and as fast as he could said, okay, go to the bathroom. He then had a face as if he'd been contaminated by something. He sat at his desk in silence for 5 minutes. Then class went on as normal as I heard guys whispering to each other, asking if they knew what that was.
What?
All of the girls glared at them and shook their heads. Mr. S never questioned girls going to the bathroom with a bag again and didn't even question when they didn't come back for 30 minutes. Back then, a lot of people chilled in the study hall section and talked to people while they left class to go to the bathroom.
Yeah. I mean, this guy, like, was there no sex ed in their class? What is going on here? In their other school? Why does he know what a tampon is?
I know.
He's like, "Is this a vape pen?" It's like covered in like a plastic wrap.
But I did have a teacher. I think I've told this story in here before, but he was my history teacher in high school. And for some reason, I feel like it's so stupid, but I was probably in 11th grade and there was a break in between where we had lunch. So we had class, then we left for lunch, then we came back for class. So like all the time I just ditched and didn't come back to class. It had been like a few times in a row. And finally he like pulls me over in the hallway and he's so mad at me and he's yelling at me and he's like, "You didn't come back to my class and I'm writing you up and that's it." And da da da. And I was like, "Oh, I had my period." And he was like, oh my gosh, oh, I'm so sorry. And I was like, ha, 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 ha.
You're like, yeah, that can definitely be used to weaponize. Definitely.
Yeah,
that's so funny.
Yeah.
It's so funny.
Teachers.
Oh,
if they don't have kids, it's like, it's awkward.
Right. Well, I mean, guess what? My husband's a high school teacher and he's like, I'm like, "What do you do? Like about any of it?" He's like, "I do not say one word. If they want, if they need to do something, I just say, you just go. You just, I mean, I'm not, like, he doesn't, you know, he doesn't even pretend. Like he just lets, even if it was heroin and he'd be like, "You do that. You do what you need to do.
You go take care of what you need to take care of.
Here's your hall pass.
I can't say anything about that.
Not doing it. Oh God. I just think that's so funny. Cause he doubled down. He's like, "Is this a vape pen?" Even
I know he pulls out the freaking tampon in front of the whole class. Like,
that's
mortifying.
Such a good one.
But she was a legend because she made it so all the girls could just freaking leave whenever they wanted. And he didn't say shit anymore. She had to take that, but she became a legend.
She became a legend.
Thanks to Mary.
Well, this one is from Marnie in Pennsylvania. And Marnie writes, "My son started preschool and got invited to his first birthday party. He was in class with kids ages 3 to 5, and the party was for a 5-year-old named Spencer. Since we were new and hadn't been able to meet all the kids and parents yet, and since my son wasn't very verbal at 2.5 yet, I had to rely on my instincts for the gift. I picked out a very cool remote-controlled car. It had lights, it had sirens, it could flip, it was freaking cool. We got to Chuck E. Cheese and approached the party. I was instantly aware that Spencer was a girl because of all the pink balloons. She was wearing a beautiful party dress and her hair was done up in bows. The theme for the party, which had not been on the very gender neutral invite, was Barbie. Now, I would have loved a remote control car as a kid and gifts.
I would have
too.
I liked all my brother's toys. Oh, I hated Barbies. I was like, I want the He-Man that you punch the chest in and it turns around, and like the little army man that like floated down. I was like, the boys' toys were so much cooler. Like they just
were. It's so true. So maybe this isn't even embarrassing, but so yeah. She said, I know gifts aren't supposed to be for a certain gender, so I just added it to the pile and wandered around with my son for the rest of the party. We got a thank you in the mail from Spencer's parents thanking us for the gift. I was relieved, but next time I'll do a little homework, and by that I mean I'll flat out ask the parents what their kid is into before pulling the trigger on something random.
Yeah, I always do that. I usually just text them if they put that on the RSVP and just say like, or I ask my son because their son wasn't verbal to say that, but
yeah,
I'll ask them and say like, hey, what's your kid into?
Yeah. What would they use, you know, instead of just like something. Yeah.
I think she loved it. Honestly,
I would have loved it.
I would have loved it. Okay. My last story comes from Quora, and Anna Menino writes, living alone in a rural area often proves the old adage, the odds are good, but the goods are odd. People get lonely, standards get muddied, and you might find yourself on a nightmare date in the middle of nowhere.
I love this.
I was standing in the automotive section of the biggest and the only grocery store in at least 60 miles, trying to decipher the difference between 10W30 and 5W30 oil. My oil was a little low, and I figured I should top it off, but my facial expression must have revealed a little bit of my anxiety. I'm like, yeah, I wouldn't know that.
You'd be like, what?
A handsome man with long hair and an air of confidence approached me, smiling. He flirted with me. I laughed with him, and he told me he was a mechanic. I couldn't believe my luck. Within moments, we were putting the right oil in my crummy old car and laughing about my lack of automotive knowledge. He asked if I would go out with him the following night, and I agreed, and we exchanged numbers. It was all very exciting and new. The following evening, when I called to see where we would meet, he casually mentioned I would need to come pick him up as his license was in the mail or some such nonsense.
What?
The revelation was a bit of a punch to my butterfly gut, but I decided I'll just go with it, and I drove two towns over to get him.
Oh, two towns over.
The first red flag is a fly.
He's a mechanic. Like, okay.
It was at that point I came to understand he was living in the mechanic shop under a lease agreement that was ending at the close of the month. The butterflies had left my stomach entirely.
Oh, no.
The town we were in did not have any restaurants, so he suggested we go on a drive into the mountains for a while.
Okay. That's scary.
Young readers, please learn from my experience and stupidity. This was the exact moment I should have made up an excuse and left.
Yeah.
Incredulous readers, please try and imagine how lonely I was for friendly companionship to continue on with this date. The guy was slight of stature. He was not physically intimidating, and he wasn't that creepy. He was clearly down on his luck, but at no point did I feel like I was in any kind of danger. Still, this has got to be one of my dumbest moves ever. With no dinner in my belly, we drove up into a beautiful forested area overlooking a creek. We sat in my car, listening to music and talking for 2 hours. It was okay until he leaned over to kiss me.
Oh.
I don't even remember how it happened, but I instinctively turned away.
Good.
It hurt his feelings, and we both knew the night was over. As I turned to start my car, we both came to the sickening revelation that my battery was dead.
No, my God.
We were literally 45 minutes up a dirt access road in the middle of the mountains with no traffic coming from either direction. I was like, this reminded me, I've been watching too. Did I talk about this on here? I Shouldn't Be Alive, that show that's like I Survived. It's so good, but there's so many stories like this where something happens and people get stranded, and even just 45 miles, you can freaking die. Like, there's nothing around. Like, it gets cold. You're in the middle of nowhere. Like, people that had to, like, hike and try to, like, and you have no water, like, all this stuff, whatever. So anyway, this reminded me of that. I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Wildlife was not something either of us wanted to deal with, so hiking down in the dark was not an option. The car was in no position to attempt a rolling start, so our best bet was to wait until morning and hike down and get help.
What?
It was, yeah. It was the longest, coldest, most uncomfortable night of my life. We made some small talk, but it was very painful. The stink of our morning breath and the rising sun jettisoned us out of the car and down the trail at 4 a.m. It took a while, but we found an older couple heading up the road eventually. Hiking helped. We didn't have to talk much. When I finally dropped him back off at his shop/couch that morning, I was too hungry, tired, cold, and disappointed to do anything other than laugh with him and say goodbye. We both made it out okay, but it was the worst date I ever went on in my life.
That's really bad. I mean, that's awkward. And also, it's scary. I guess one of them could have left and gone down and gotten help, right? And
then because they said there's wildlife. So there might have been like cougars and like who knows what.
It was at night.
Yeah, it was in the middle of the night. Oh, yeah. No. It was the middle of the night when this happened, probably like 10 or 11. And he's just tried to kiss you and you're like, ugh. And you're like, all right, let's get out of here. You go to start the car. And now you're stuck with him for the entire night of not sleeping and making awkward small talk and waiting for the sun to come up so you can freaking leave.
Oh, my God. That's really bad. Beyond awkward. Really well written.
I know. So awkward. Really good writer.
Oh, mm-hmm. God. That's really bad. That's a really bad date. But, I mean, memorable, you know?
Definitely.
Okay, my last story comes from Reddit. Playcat writes, I was 12 at summer camp. We were doing a trust teamwork exercise on the ropes course with the boys' cabin. There was a stretchy net between two trees with differently sized holes, and we had to strategize how to get the whole team through the net by only using each hole once. Which is hard to picture for me. I don't know. It's kind of hard to picture. Just sounds hard.
Yeah, it sounds really weird.
You could also go over or under. Being the smallest girl, I was chosen to be lifted over the top. As I was being passed over, the waistband of my yoga pants got caught on the top string, and simultaneously, my teammates failed me. My pants and underwear were violently ripped from my body,
no.
And I fell about 5 feet, bare ass and vag first, into the dusty ground. I was stuck with my legs over my head, tangled in the net, and my pants around my knees, completely helpless.
That's a nightmare.
Absolutely mortifying. It was so bad. I think everyone was too shocked to actually make fun of me for it. Plus, it wasn't really my fault. And I still got to kiss my crush that summer.
Oh, well, good for you. He liked what he saw and he saw it all. That is so awkward.
I just love, for me, I love trust exercises that fail. Like, it's like, I will catch you, but then, like, you can't catch them. They're, like, too heavy or something.
Yeah, they're, like, all, like, lifting her up, and then they just freaking drop her on her ass.
And her vag.
And fully naked. Oh, I hate that so much. That one hurts.
I know. It does.
That's our show. We hope you loved it. If you did, please tell a friend, rate, review, and subscribe. That helps us move up the charts. And if you've got a story that made you turn beet red, you can email us at beetredpodcast@gmail.com.
And if you want to buy us a coffee, you can go to our Patreon page, which is listed in the show notes. And if you can't beat them,
join us. See you next week.